Blog Talk Radio.
Be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You have found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports Index.
And if I may say that these sports in-depth nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Hey, Doc Stanley, Sports In-Depth Blog Talk Radio. On the Trust and Garvey Network, God bless you. Happy birthday, Mr. Willie Mays. Hey, kid. Open up with this thing, the Candyman. Willie Mays is that. He was the sweetest thing ever played the game of baseball. He was the sweetest thing that the fans ever saw. The one and only, the legendary, the incomparable, Willie Howard Mays Jr. I first met Mr. Mays out of broadcasting school. And graduated yet. He was at City Hall. And read about the paper man. And Willie Mays. You can't put in words of what Willie Mays means to me and so many other people. And at that time, I was working too with Mutual Blackness Radio, Dr. Frank Bannister. I did a little piece and I used this music. And he said, hey, you know, what thought about that? Willie is the candy man. I got to tell Willie that. It was that. Greatest all around player ever played the game. I 5'2 player. We're going to talk about Mays. I'm excited. I knew Willie Mays' birthday, May 6th. It's always a special day to me. Can't say enough about Willie Mays. 90 years old. We just thank God. Baseball Digest last week gave him an award. And you just feel so good that he was here to get the award. He turns 90 today. Came to New York as a, Willie Mays was like 19 years old when he came to New York. Yeah. 19-year-old rookie won Rookie of the Year award. Two guys that win Rookie of the Year, MVP. And, wow. Enough said. Doc Stanley Sports and their Blog Talk Radio, Trusted Guard Radio Network. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. Greatest player ever played the game. Oh, he was the candy man. He was the man. Sweetest thing that ever laced up a pair of baseball spikes. Willie Mays. Watching that Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. And this show is dedicated to the legendary Mr. Willie Mays, the greatest baseball player that ever played or have played or will play in baseball. We're all here after Sports and Definition. God bless you. We thank God for you. Love you dearly, Mr. Mays. Happy 90th birthday. Mucho more. Watching that Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. May have Cinco de Mayo yesterday at his own holiday. Ain't nothing bigger than the birthday of the greatest player ever played the game, Willie Mays. With some quotes and stuff, and Brooklyn sent me a piece today. But as always, open up with a Christian song for me to pray, and then we're going to talk about Willie Mays. Willie Mays. 24. It's ironic that the greatest all-around entertainer singing a song about the greatest all-around player, Sammy Davis Jr., leads us in our salute to the one and only, the great Willie Mays.
In the Bible days, she had been sick so very long. But she heard my Jesus was passing by, so she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." She cried, "Oh, and oh, and oh, and oh, and oh," said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." And oh, she spent her money here and there until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, "Somebody touch me." She said, "It was I who just wanna touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now." She stood there crying, "Oh, oh, 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 and oh, 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 and oh, oh." Said, "If I could just touch the hem of your garment, I know I'll be made whole right now."
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. And we our prayer, John Coltrane leads us in prayer. Now, you know, we're talking about the greatest all-around baseball player, the greatest all-around entertainer, the greatest tenor saxophone player of all time. Late, great John Coltrane leads us in prayer as we remember. Say happy birthday. Remember the birthday of the greatest player that ever played the game of baseball. Number 24, Willie Mays. I had once asked Mr. Mays, did he ever realize that his number 24 was Jackie Robinson's number backwards? And he said, you know, the reverence that the black players had for Jackie Robinson, and one of his great quotes is, you know, every time I look at my pocketbook, I see Jackie Robinson. And, man, I remember Armando Vasquez from the Negro Leagues, and I got to put the picture, to have an autographed picture of, you know, Mr. Mays was always so great when we autographed. You know, he played with the Birmingham Black Barons, and they said, wasn't it ironic that the guy considered the greatest basketball player, that's the team he played in my league, the Birmingham Black Barons, yeah. Hey, let's get to pray. Willie Mays, happy birthday. Here we go now. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to spend another blessed and beautiful day with you and for you. May you strengthen us. Give us the wisdom to... May we lift up heads and put hope in the hearts of all who are depressed or heavily burdened. Thank you for your unmerited favor, miraculous healings, financial blessings, and for your peace which surpasses all understanding. May you continue to keep us covered in the blood of Jesus and safe from all harm, seen and unseen. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, bless Willie Mays. Lord, thank you for Willie Mays. In Jesus' name, the Lord, amen. There were other birthdays today, but hey, Stevie Wonder is singing this for Mr. Mays. 90th birthday, Willie Mays, 302 lifetime hitter, 660 home runs, the first man in history of baseball to over 500 doubles, to over 500 home runs, and get 3,000 base hits. Willie Mays is the only man who hit 500 home runs with 12 gold gloves. He also is the only home run champion to lead the league in stolen base, which he did 4 years in a row. It's in about Willie Mays. Fine. And ironic, as we talk about a song that was dedicated to saluting the birthday of the greatest man of peace, Black Perspective. And Stevie Wonder, it's a shout out to Mays and just say, love you, Mr. Mays, anymore. God for you. Happy birthday to you, Mr. Willie Mays. Played that in recognition of Mr. Mays, who did so much for the youth of America. The Colgate game, Mr. Mays was always doing something for the youth. I remember they were putting together a Black Hall of Fame. I forgot the organization, and Mr. Mays was there. And you know, I always excited to be his company, and he took a picture of me, and you know, hey, what are you doing, Mays? Hey, give me a business card. Let me get back to you. I didn't have a business card. Willie Mays asked me for a business card. But, you know, Mays did so much for the youth. Now, Mays, if I can recognize, so he said, you know, kids around the world were different ways. He talked about as a youth that, you know, the kids would be playing integrated baseball, Alabama. The cops would come along, and they would make them segregate. And then when the cops left, they integrated again, you know what I mean? My mother at a Clack Lounge, you know, you go down the Ferris wheel, the kids say, I don't want to ride on the black horse or the pink horse. The horse is a horse. We talked about that, that situation. Birthday parties at his house for the kids, you know. Imagine Willie Mays. That'd be very good. I could buy some ice cream. You know what I mean? He did so much for the youth of America. And that's black, white, green, or yellow. I got a picture. He signed a kid's cat. Lou Johnson, sweet Lou Johnson, talked about, maybe I mentioned it to him, I got some extras that would do a lot, how, you know, he took care of all of the black players that came through Frisco and the white guys. But especially the brothers, you know, because he had sweaters for him. Mr. Johnson, he was big into washing machines. He had a lot of washing, but he would, you know, come through the incident, the big incident. Now, we talked about it on the show. Marichal thing, hey, he's concerned with Johnny Rose. Come on, John, you're hurt. Big person in the black power and civil rights movement. But, you know, Willie Mays did it his way. His lovely wife, May, late wife, who I got a chance to meet, he did an affair here at Gallagher Steakhouse. We used to love going to Gallagher because you knew you were going to get dynamite steak. But, man, Willie Mays, too, that's like getting $1 million in tax-free. And he was going to be in a tennis thing, and he jokingly talked about the tennis racket, but he was saying, you know, he just, Bobby Bonds has just got traded to the Yankees. And he was saying, hey, you know, he's going to be right. Give him some time. It's New York City. But Mr. Johnson talked about he took care. All of the black players came through, you know what I mean, make sure he had the right, because change acclimatation to the weather, you know what I mean? But he did a lot of stuff. They said, did it quietly. Rides come up. Hey, Mr. Mays was there, you know. His wife said, you know, that he, you know, he does the things the way he does the things. I remember that line his dad told him, you know, you need white people to help you with your people. But Mr. Mays never was one that talked about it. He just did it, you know, like he did in baseball. You know, he did home run. And Mr. Mays was a pivotal part of the youth of our nation, the civil rights movement of our nation. And the great line that Larry Brown said about Julius Erving, Mr. Mays was a greater star off the field than he was on the field. And it wasn't nobody greater on the field. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Block Talk Radio, and Trust and Government Network. When you talk about Willie Mays, you talk about the enthusiasm, the excitement, the flair, love he had for the game. On Myers, I said, you know, Willie Mays could run faster looking over his shoulder at his flair. You know what I mean? He brought to every game. And he played the game with a child's heart. And he had a man's ability. Frank Kaminoff said it one time, you know, baseball is an amazing sport. He said, you know, you play a kid's game. But, you know, you come in playing and getting paid. Another song that reminds me of Mr. Mays, you know, with a child's heart. Great heart, a great man. Okay, what we're going to do, too, they had a thing today. Just being great man working for me. Some of that. So with a child, nothing can ever get you down. With a child's heart, you've got no. Found you didn't find when you saw. What's that? Block Talk Radio, Touch the Garbage Network. Happy birthday! It's in this for you, okay? Stand by. Willie Mays turns 90 today. The big 9-0 for the best in show. Here we go. Let's get this for you now. Get my volume here, and we'll talk some more about this here. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust and Government Network.
With the Capital One, Zach.
Nope, that's not what we want. We want our Willie Mays piece here. Here we go. Should roll for us a piece. Baseball scores today. Houston finally got a win after losing the first two games against the Yankees. They beat him today 7-4. Good to see my man Dusty Baker get a win here in New York. Dusty's also with some of these people who make quotes about the great Willie Mays. I got to get this here for you. Doc Stanley's posting their Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. And Willie Mays' birthday today. Wow. Won't get any better. They will try to get this piece for you. Unless we can get it done. From ESPN, Willie Mays at 90. He was Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, Simone Biles, and Brennerkoff all rolled into one. The great Willie Mays. And of course, we're having problems getting this together here, and I'm a little irate by it. Here we go. Number 24, 660 home runs, and here we go. Here we go for you.
Are you playing me right now at second base? I hit that ball over your head. And he told me, he said, boy, you choke up on the bat. And he says, you ain't strong enough to hit that ball over my head. And he showed me his
Dusty Baker talking about Willie Mays, but let's go to the beginning of this for you, okay? Here we go.
To appreciate Willie Mays, the oldest living Hall of Famer at age 90, is to remember him at age 20. When he joined the New York Giants in 1951, the game had never seen an athlete like him. The greatest combination of power, speed, and defense ever to wear a uniform.
Everything he did was perfect. What didn't he do? He was one of the first players to have genuine swag. He would sit there on the bench and I'd watch Willie. I think people did that to Jim Brown.
Reggie Jackson.
They did it with the acrobatics and greatness of Jordan. It's the same thing today when players go watch the pregame warm-up of Steph Curry.
There were five tool players before Mays, but all of Mays' tools were among the best in the game. His 12 gold gloves are the most ever by a player in the 500 home run club. And when he retired in 1973, he was third all-time in home runs and 29th in stolen bases. Mays' power mostly came from his legendarily strong hands.
Yeah, I asked him, I said, why are you playing me right now at second base?
Dusty
I hit
Baker.
That ball over your head. And he told me, he said, boy, you choke up on the bat. And he says, strong enough to hit that ball over my head. And he showed me his hand and muscle between your thumb and your forefinger. It looked like he had a golf ball in there. And so he told me, he says, hey, boy, let me see your hand. And I had nothing.
I think either Canseco or A-Rod or somebody had just gone 40-40. I said that to Willie. I said, what do you think of those guys doing 40-40? You did 30-30 a couple times. I said, oh, hell, 40-40, that's nothing. I could have did 50-50 if I wanted. I want to steal my bases, you know, when it matters for the team.
There's a lot.
The 1954 World Series against Vic Wirtz might be the best, most famous defensive play in the history of the postseason.
I don't even know if I'll put it in my top 10, but if in the World Series, you ever seen me play, you look out there and they weren't in the infield. Nobody ever came out. For what? What are you going to come out for? I get the ball back into the infield very quickly all the time. But anyway, when I catch the ball, I caught it and I fall and threw it back in.
For him to do that and do it so nonchalantly, you always thought back then if you were putting mustard, you wanted to put a mustard on.
Johnny Bench.
It wasn't like that. That was just his natural ability. For him, just the grace that he had in the ball.
Mays was universally admired, so generous with his time and guidance.
The most special moment of all was the 68 All-Star Game. I'm 20 years old.
Johnny Bench.
Billy walked across from his locker to mine. He said, you should have been the starting catcher. And that was it. I mean, that's all I needed. It was a joy to be around him. Billy was a guy that you wanted to emulate in every fact.
Willie Mays, turning 90 today. The great Willie Mays. My goodness. Often imitated but never duplicated. Everybody wants to be like him, you know. Boy, everybody, Willie. I think we got some more here for you. Stay tuned for more. And we say happy birthday to the great Willie Mays. got some quotes for you, too, from a horde of players. There's some interesting things, too. I'm going to read them to you because you can never say enough about the great Willie Mays. And, man, it's just with some stuff. I learned some stuff here today. But, you know, it's not surprising because, you know, Willie Mays is a lot like Jim Brown, you know. They said Jim Brown did things in the movies that were more believable than what he did on the football field. And there's nothing that Willie Mays did that was unbelievable. I mean, it was just him. Nobody else liked him. Wow. Okay. We're going to have to post more Willie Mays. Happy birthday to Willie Mays today. And, wow, he's turned to big 9-0. Willie Howard Mays Jr. Okay, we'll try to get back to the rest of this piece that they had. In fact, I have to get back here because they had a whole bunch of quotes here for what we're going to do. We're going to play some of the things that I was talking about earlier, and I was hoping we could get the entire piece here. But no, they were right. The imitation of wanting to be like Mr. Mays, you know, Barry Bonds wore number 24 in Pittsburgh in honor of his godfather, Willie Mays. And I remember when Mary sent this to me today, my first reaction.
Yeah, thanks, boy. That's my man, Willie Mays, man. I knew his birthday since I was a kid. In fact, that's where the nickname Willie Mays came from, man. Glenn Bartlett, the late Glenn Bartlett, and Jimmy Seeley, they used to call me Melly. And they knew Willie Mays was my guy, so that's how I got the nickname Millie Mays. Millie Mays, man. And, you know, copy this basket catch. Just remember the first time I saw Willie Mays. On TV, he's playing in Philadelphia. And the dad said, here comes Mr. Willie Mays. And Mays, I remember just his jockstrap. First time I saw him live, he was turning first base on his way to third base for a stand-up triple in the Polo Grounds. And I remember he made a throw. Ball was into left center field. That was a great outfield, too. McCovey in left field, because he had just probably the best 3-4-5 ever hit to baseball. Mays third, McCovey fourth, Spade fifth. And Ed Bailey wasn't bad when they threw him in the sixth last catch. But anyway, ball's at the left center field, and him and McCovey go to the corner. Willie waves McCovey off, grabs the ball, and threw the ball from the left field fence to home plate on a fly. Tom Howard had to reach up to get the ball, okay? Guy sitting underneath him, but the guy coming behind him, Mays got. Thank God it was my Mr. Williams, a friend of his from the South, and wanted to see the Giants, and Willie Mays, of course, as all the baseball did. And then I went the next night. He says, you know, since you're a Giant fan, you know, Willie Mays fan, take to the game again. And that's the first time I see Juan Marichal coming into pitch for the Giants, number 27, Juan Marichal. Marichal came in relief. Yeah, first time I saw Willie Mays do the cycle. Because I remember the other, my dad took me out in 1960. What was it, Willie did it? He had a 23 inning game. Yeah, it had to be 64 because that was at Shea Stadium's first opening and 23 inning game. Those days, you know, it was really fantastic, man, because you could go to doubleheader. Giants would come in on a Friday. I remember, you know, man, the excitement I had. I mean, just the Giants coming. I mean, I was waking up, of course, by the grace of God on a Friday, just excited, man, going to school, thinking about watching Willie Mays, you know, on TV. And sure enough, man, cut the game on early. There was Ralph Kiner with Willie Mays to be his guest. And I was just excited about that, man. And then we eventually go to the game on the weekend. And they had the Friday night game. They had a Saturday game, and then we have a doubleheader. Doubleheader. I remember the 23 game was the first game of a doubleheader. More historical moments. We broke the record for home runs in a month. I took my dad out to the game in August, because my dad's birthday, August 29th, Willie Mays, broke the record for home runs in the month. for that home run. When Max Risa, my sister, I think I must have seen Willie Mays hit the cycle, because I remember hit that single when the game hit the home run. So I'm pretty sure he hit a double. You know, Willie Mays retired. He was the first man in history of baseball. Over 500 doubles, 500 home runs, and 3,000 bases. And you look at Mays played to win. Mays is a genius. You know, people talk about him playing. It's remarkable to me that you look at that and the, you know, this, you know, none of the great black players, everybody talked about his intellect, his cerebralness, and all this stuff. Yet, you know, nobody offered Mr. Mays a GM job. You know, not a manager's GM. Now, I heard there was a story. I've got to ask Michael if it's true. But the Herman Franks and a group of people were going to buy the Yankees. And Willie Mays is going to be the player manager. And reading, I think Dick Young had wrote that in his column. It might have been Gene Ward. But I remember reading that story, but the deal fell through. But had the deal came to filtration, I think that must have been before he got traded to the Mets. But I remember reading about that, because he would have had, at that time, I think Mantle was still playing, so you'd had Mays and Mantle in the same outfield. But yeah, Willie Mays, man, thanks a lot. I just can't say nothing about Willie Mays. Like I said, man, he's his idol. Chuck Clifford said he's the only thing the rich promised the poor and paid off on. This picture you have here, I remember buying that record as a kid. That's a record. And he talks on that record about the guy, you know, the basket catch, and the guy says, well, did you ever drop a ball? Well, he says, oh, yeah, yeah, I dropped one time, you know, against Banks. I remember I should have kept that paper, man. Willie Mays dropped a fly ball. It was front page news in the Daily News. Willie Mays dropped a fly ball. It was front page news on the Daily News. And, you know, my cousin was talking to everybody. Said, hey, man, you really made up the ball. I said, what? Come on, make a play. Nah, man, it's in the paper. 12 gold gloves. I'm just, Wade should have won 13 gold gloves. The year that he didn't get his 13th, Pete Rose won a gold glove. And let's be serious. Willie Mays in a wheelchair can outfield Pete Rose anytime. So, you know, you look at how these things happen. How does Mays not get 13 gold gloves? Someone will come in and have a record for 12 in a row. But how come Willie don't have 13? You know, you look at the aspect of how was he not the MVP in 1962? Led the league in home runs and RBIs. And his team won the pennant. Team won the pennant. And the playoff. And they gave it to Wills. Never said Willie Mays could conceivably win the MVP every year. Willie Mays is the only man to win MVP an 11-year span. Due to the 2 years he lost in the military, man, 800 home runs. Okay, 660. So it's 51 his first year back. But let's be conservative. Let's make it 25-25. He's got a base paper record first before Hank does. We don't play in Candlestick Park. Man. And you got to question the sanity of some of the fans. No, not taking the Willie Mays right away. Ain't nobody ever been, can be, or will be better than Willie Mays. That is just the way the good Lord designed it. I remember the fourth top of the song. That's the way nature planned it. Willie Mays as an all-around player. Willie Mays as the most exciting player. Willie Mays as a center fielder. Hey, it's you know, that's the way. Perfection. Pelé as a football player, soccer player. Jim Brown as a running back. Gale Sayers as a halfback.
We, you know, we're talking about the Gold Glove team, and you know, Willie Mays was a member of the original Gold Glove team, the first Gold Glove team in 1957. In fact, him and Gil Hodges were the only two guys for the National League on that team. Let's finish what I was
saying. As a halfback. You know, just, yeah. You know, just, you know, Willie, you know, people talk about Mike. At the forward slot, the perfection is Elgin Bale and Dr. J. Okay, man, I'm rapping on. That's because of Willie Mays. I can rap him, man. I can rap about Willie Mays. It's just, you know, it's exciting. You know, Willie Mays was more exciting
something like that, striking out. And then Willie was a genius. I remember I did an article, man, about how Willie Mays and Walt Frazier would set up their foes. Frazier would watch how guys would through the course of the game, and he would do nothing. And then late part of the game, and he needed to steal to get it. Mays would strike out, you know, Frazier. You know, Rookie Melvin said he strikes out Willie Mays, and that's three strikes, you know, got Mays on all three curveballs. Willie was striking on purpose. Because now here it is, second and third, Giants by a run. Hey, I'm going to throw an off-speed curveball. Bam, there it goes. It's just a genius, man, you know, but they never act like we just all by physicality. And they talked about how Mays was running the team from center field. You know, one pitcher talked about, man, he looked out and Willie was shaded a little more to left field. And that guy hit the ball right there. He came in, Willie said, yeah, well, you know, in the seventh inning, your curveball, you know, it's kind of hanging a little bit. Ain't nobody like Willie Mays, man. And he was always great to me. I remember I got a couple of good balls. Let's see, I think the first time I went out to Shea, the radio station, I got a little ball. It's autographed by Willie Mays. That's enough. And also, Landon Cepeda's on the ball. I believe Hank Aaron's on the ball. The Tom Seaver's on the ball. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, there we go, man. But thanks a lot. Because this picture here that they show, and they're right. He was all them rolled into one, plus some. Trust in God.
Talking to Marion Boykin, he sent me the picture. The ESPN piece on Willie. And Willie Mays was a member of the first ever Gold Glove team. Him and Gil Hodges were only two National League players on that team. Hodges at the first base, Nelly Fox at second base, Luis Aparicio at shortstop, Frank Melzone was at third base, left field with Minnie Minoso. We knew it was in center field. The right field was Al Kaline. And Sherman Lawler behind the plate. Bobby Chance was the catcher. I remember that team, and I remember that 1957, initial year of the Gold Glove. And Willie Mays was in center field. Who else is going to be in center field but the great Willie Mays? And remember, Frank Melzone was the gentleman at third base. And like I said, as I guess kind of apropos, a Dodger and a Giant were on the team. And, wow, number 24. Willie Mays. Okay, actually, more stuff. I was thinking of some thoughts, too. You know, people, Mr. Mays, like I said, always great. Autographs. Hit 660 home runs. And, you know, Joe DiMaggio, in our collage, I got a picture of Joe DiMaggio, who was his idol, a picture of Stan Musial. You know, Stan Musial and Willie Mays are the only two players that the Dodger fans rooted for and loved. When Willie Mays went into the military, the empires waited around to tell Willie Mays goodbye. And the lady who was the organist, Hilga, I think it was the name, famous organist, played, "I'll see you in my dreams." And that's what Willie Mays was, a dream, man, for you to see. And wow. But and we understand now, this is only his second year. This is only his second year, okay? He's in his second year. Came up as a rookie in 51 and 52. Okay, "I'll see you in my dreams," they're playing. The empires are going over to say good luck and goodbye until you come on back. More Willie Mays thoughts that I got. And I guess it's better than me talking. Hey, let me see. That's why I wrote quarter message, because I'll remember them later. Here you go.
Ain't nobody in heaven ain't supposed to be there. And the same goes for those that are going there.
Dr. Stanley's words of wit and wisdom.
You act like you love me, but you never say you do.
Willie Mays.
Adirondack Bats. Washing machine.
Yeah, I remember Willie Mays, as in the military, got a deal with a. He was the first player to not use rolling bats. Rolling, I think, not rolling bats. Louisville Sluggers. They probably was a bat. Well, Alvin Dark had a black bat. That's what they call them, Darky. But Willie Mays got a deal with Adirondack. And I remember I was in the military. It had to be about 67 or so. And they gave Mr. Mays a sports car. And Mr. Mays was the first guy to have, like, his own personal bats. Well, it's Willie Mays. It's Willie Mays. It's what I got to say here.
Took all the black players when they came through. Had sweaters for him and stuff. Rico Johnson talked about how he had a lot of washing machines, and he would take all the black players when they came through so they could deal with the weather.
Anderson Farmer. Amazing hit.
Amazing. Yeah, I was saying that
Willie Mays.
And he played.
I remember taking my sister Teresa's baseball game. I was working at the vegetable store then, so I didn't get home till 6 o'clock. Got out there. I think the 8 o'clock game's in. As we were coming down the runway, so Willie Mays hit a home run. He hit a single at a 2-for-4 day, and I remember she turned to me about this. She said, Melbourne, where are the Willie Mayses? And the fact that she was cognizant of Willie Mays at that age, you know, and that's the way I talked about him. And I remember a guy said, hey, they are the Willie Mayses. The whole team is. So some significant things about Willie Mays, too. He was a 23-inning game. He played shortstop. You saw the great Willie Mays play shortstop. That 23-inning game was remarkable, too, because Orlando Cepeda hit into a triple play. And they said he had Roy McMillan, been a selfish type of guy, been unassisted. He caught it, stepped on the bag, and could have touched the runner coming in, but he threw the first base, reached the triple play. Gaylord Perry came in that game, pitched. I'd never heard anybody named Gaylord. There was a toy, Gaylord. And your attention, please. Come in to pitch for the San Francisco Giants. Number 39, Gaylord Perry. Perry. 10 innings, I believe, he pitched. And that got him into becoming one of the great pitchers of his era. I remember, too, reading years later that they were teasing Al Dark about the hitting prowess of Gaylord Perry. And Dark said, man will land on the moon before Gaylord Perry hits a home run. And surely enough, when Alan Shepard landed on the moon that afternoon in a game, Gaylord Perry, his first major league home run. May have been his only major league home run.
His facts and thoughts about Willie Mays.
And Willie Mays was always kind and great to me. The last time I saw Mr. Mays, they were saluting Reggie Jackson. Him and Hank Aaron were there. That's a heck of an outfield. You know, you stick Hank in the left and let the Reggie stay in right field. But I remember when I was Mr. Mays, you got time for a picture? I said, hey, man, I got time for a picture. He was always great to me. First time I met Mr. Mays, I had a press conference for him at the City Hall. I just got into radio, and I went there, came to autograph, and the people thought I was with him. So I said, hey, brother, you know what I mean? But remember his first game.
Just share some thoughts on Willie Mays that I remember, so I figured I'd better off be saying this.
I went to the game that Friday because it came, and that's what made me a Mets fan. They got Willie Mays. And that Sunday, the home run to win the game. And reading his book, he said when he got the home plate, he almost turned to the right, almost going to the Giant dugout. He comes to the ballpark and see Willie Mays, going to the clubhouse, to be around him. Pete Rose said something I'll never forget. You know you. I'll use that statement, trust me. Also, I was thinking about something, you know, when I first met Julius, and we became.
When I talk about Julius, I'm talking about Julius Erving anytime I mention Julius.
Well, Willie, I remember the great thing in his book.
And, you know, off that 23-inning game, besides Willie Mays playing shortstop, and I believe Gaylord Perry pitched 10 innings and a triple play, Willie Mays also bunted that day. I believe he had a bet with Russ Hodges, you know, that if he bunt, I think Hodges lost the bet. I think Willie got a tie or something like that. But Willie Mays bunted that day, too. Yep.
Great thing in his book. The dad told him, you know, you need white people to help you with your people. Art Russ, sort of begrudgingly, said that, yeah, Ollie was better than Joe Louis. Willie Mays was better than Joe DiMaggio. But those are my guys, Sugar Ray Robinson, Joe Louis, and Joe DiMaggio. I remember remember taking my sister Teresa to a baseball game. I was working at the vegetable store then, so I didn't get to get home until 6 o'clock. And got out there. I think the 8 o'clock game's in. As we were coming down the runway, so Willie Mays hit a home run. Hit a single, had a 2-for-4 day, and I remember she turned to me about this. She said, Melvin, where are the Willie Mays? And the fact that she was cognizant.
Yeah, that was, you know, she had to be about 7 or 8 years old, but, you know, she knew about Willie Mays. And, you know, at that young age, you know, it is how Willie Mays. In a lot of ways, they talk about Michael Jackson being a Peter Pan figure to kids. Willie Mays, in a lot of ways, a Peter Pan figure. You know, the joy that he portrayed and he had in playing the game, the affection that the youth, as well as adults, you know, the very few people that both kids and adults alike. Willie Mays.
I think she was cognizant of Willie Mays at that age. You know, and that's the way I talked about him. And I remember a guy said, hey, they are the Willie Mays. The whole team is.
And she said, Willie Mays, where's the Willie Mays?
Things about Willie Mays, too. We were 23 in game. He played shortstop. You saw the great Willie Mays play shortstop. That 23 game was remarkable, too, because Orlando Cepeda hit into a triple play. And they said he had Roy McMillan, been a suffering type of guy, but on the system. He caught it, stepped on the bag, and could have touched the runner coming in, but he threw the first base, big triple play. Gaylord Perry came in that game, pitched. I'd never heard anybody named Gaylord. There was a toy, Gaylord. And your attention, please. Come in to pitch for the San Francisco Giants. Number 39.
Yeah, there was the toy was a dog, Gaylord, and right after the commercial, I was introduced to listen to Gaylord Perry.
Perry, Jenny.
And it was something, you know. Wow, it was. I mean, you were just thrilled to go to the game, and like I said, to see Willie Mays play shortstop, he had made. He almost caught a home run that Joe Christopher hit. Mr. Mays had grabbed it, but coming back, bringing his glove back over the fence, it fell out. So it would have been a 23 inning game. And the Giants won the doubleheader, but they played 32 innings that day to do it. But I remember him making that catch. And, wow, what can you say about Willie Mays? That isn't stupendous.
Perry. Jennings, I believe, your pitch, and that got him into becoming one of the great pitchers of his era. I remember, too, reading years later that they were teasing Al Dark about the hitting prowess of Gaylord Perry. And Dark said, man will land on the moon before Gaylord Perry hits a home run. In my pocket, you see Jackie Robinson. And in the pitch for the San Francisco Giants. And Willie Mays was always.
Sorry for the interruptions here. We should be getting it. I just wanted to catch these quotes because they're. Oh, Willie Mays.
Also, I was thinking about something. You know, when I first met Julius, we became friends. Like I said, Godfather, my first two kids. In fact, I thought about it. His wife, Turquoise, who I named my daughter after, she actually named Lou Mel, too, because she's the one who started calling him Lou Mel. But I remember we was coming out the locker room, man, and I told him, Julius, hey, Julius, Julius, I really love you, man. I said, Mel, you know you don't love nobody better than you love Willie. he read about that, man. Willie Mays, man, I just... Willie Mays, man.
Sorry for the interruptions. I don't know why it keeps cutting off here like this.
Willie Mays, man. Remember he said that, you know, hey, Mel, you know you love nobody better than you love Willie. But it just shows, it was just a couple years then, but talk about Willie Mays, man. You can't say enough words about Willie Mays. You just thank God he got this award while he's alive. You thank God he's still well. Because I heard years ago, so this rumor he passed, but, man, that's one such Leo DeRocher. And I knew these comments because that's why I remember that.
I remember talking to Mays' first manager, Leo DeRocher.
Thomas, because that's why I remember that, because he was just short on that. And it was, in fact, it was, I got a picture. It's a picture of me and Mr. Mays. They did some at the Polo Grounds, saluting them, and when it was still up, and Mr. DeRocher was there. I said, how much would Willie Mays be worth today in today's market? He said, you couldn't fill a ballpark full of money. And I innovated the question, trying to get a figure. I said, and Mr. Rocha, I said, but how much would Willie Mays? And he said, didn't you hear me? You couldn't fill a ballpark full of money. In the conversation, man. In the conversation. And I remember talking to Mel Allen, the great Yankee sportscaster. And I...
Yeah, Mel Allen, Big Joe DiMaggio guy, and one of the great sportscasters. Valentine Blast, used to say back in the days. That was the sponsor of the Yankees. There goes another Valentine Blast, Mel Allen. He told me a funny story, too. He said, Mickey Mantle's father told him, don't ever go to a burlesque show because you'll see something you don't want to see. And Mickey told Mr. Allen, said he was right. He said, yeah, I saw my daddy there. More Willie Mays.
He conceded in a certain ways. You know, I told Mays stole more bases, and we told him at the Magic, yeah, but yeah, but nobody had a bigger head of steam turning first base to Joe, but concession, man, Willie Mays. And, you know, Joe DiMaggio's Willie Mays' idol. I mean, the book of Willie, all those kids who had come to be a cowboy. Smokey Robinson, you know, his nickname is Smokey Joe Robinson because his favorite uncle gave him that nickname, of course, Cowboy, Smokey Joe Robinson. You know, everybody was a big Cowboy fan. You look at that 60s, man, every TV, Lone Ranger, Yankee Derringer, Maverick, Half Gun Will Travel. You had the Warner Brothers thing. They had Sugarfoot, Colt 45, Annie Oakley, Roy Rogers, the Lone Ranger, Fury, Lash LaRue. And Willie Mays, remember in the book, said, you know, after he saw the Magic play, he said he didn't want to be a cowboy anymore. Just called me Joe D. And it's remarkable that he became greater than his hero. Wow. Willie Mays. The head PR man of the Arthur Richmond, who's so proud of the fact that Willie Mays is one of the best men at his wedding, said he talked to Mr. Mays one time and said, Mr. Mays said, if he's around today, he already had 200 RBIs, you know, 70, 80 home runs, a 400 batting average. He said, because there's no pitching. Now, I laughed and I think about it. Maybe Harvey Haddish talked about it. He just couldn't get Willie Mays out, you know. And I think the situation came up. He came out to the mound. He's telling the manager, look at him over there. He said, sitting on his bat, you know what I mean, relaxing. Say, you know he's going to hit me. Whitey Ford used to wear Whitey Ford out, too. I remember Whitey Ford, and think of the All-Star game. There was a $100 bet. $100 was a lot of money back then. I could use $100 now anytime, but they had a $100 bet that Whitey couldn't get Mr. Mays out. And he got Mr. Mays out. Dickie Mantle was jumping up and down like he just won the World Series because he had won his $100 bet. Yeah. And they tell a story about Mickey Mantle. You know, New York had the three greatest outfielders at that time. I mean, understand, New York had a 10-year run where every year there was a New York team in the World Series, and four or five times both teams were from New York. And you have to understand that run, too, you know, New York was winning the World Series, okay? 54, they won against Cleveland. The Giants, 51.
51 was Willie's first year, and DiMaggio's last year, his idol. And they beat the Giants. And ironically enough, it was a fly ball that Mays hit that Mantle, in those days they had the draining system for the outfield to drain the water. And I think DiMaggio said when he saw Mantle fell, he looked around, he thought he was shot. But imagine in that World Series, three of the greatest center fielders who ever lived, Willie Mays, Joe DiMaggio, and Mickey Mantle. Wow. And if you put that outfield together, you know who's in center field.
Okay, let's continue.
with the Sid Second.
The Giants 51, the Dodgers, last year. And the big talk was, who's the best center fielder in New York? Was it Willie Mays in center field for the Giants, the New York Giants? Duke Snider in center field for the Brooklyn Dodgers, the only man to hit 40 home runs 5 years in a row. Or Willie Mays in center fielder for the New York Giants. It's Willie and Mickey Mantle for the Yankees. And they said they had an affair, man. And Mickey Mantle got up. All three were there. And Mickey Mantle said, the New York Giants have the best center fielder in New York City. And that meant they're the best center fielder in baseball. I just remember these things, so I'm going to write them down. I'll be saying these on the show, but that way I've got them here. But a collage is full of Willie Mays pictures and books. First time I read a Willie Mays book was Arnold Hanno's book about Willie Mays. I've got his latest book. I remember he had an excerpt in the book before this, and Marichal was grateful to Alvin Dock about aiding him and getting his wife here, and he asked Willie, you know, what do you think he best could do to show his gratitude? So May said, win. Marichal talked about how proud he was that Willie Mays would take a day off when he was pitching because he felt Marichal was going to win. The accolades of Willie Mays is in this. Medicare, we go everywhere because it's about you that we really care.
Our sponsor, Medicare, and some of the quotes about Willie that things I was thinking about during the course of the day that I wanted to remember. And chatting a little early, too, with Barry Hardesty, but we're going to play another song and talk some more about the great Willie Mays, who's 90 years old today. And Willie Mays, too, as we continue to salute him in song as well as in quotations and memories, and we played the Candyman for you. We played with a child's heart, and got a little piece of music for you too that you're going to like.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Willie Mays was always Willie Mays in himself.
Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I gotta be me. I gotta be me. What else can I be? I want to live, not merely survive, and I won't give up this dream of life that keeps me alive. I gotta be me. Somebody else, if I'm not right for me, I gotta be free. I've gotta be free, daring to try to see win or die. I've gotta be me. I'll go for somebody else if I'm not right for me. I gotta be free. I just gotta be free. Daring to try to do it or die. I gotta be me.
Mark Stanley, sports at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardrail Network, and we are just so thrilled and glad to be here saluting Willie Mays. As we talk about the great Willie Mays here, today's his birthday, and we're just so delighted to be here talking about the great Willie Mays. Mark Stanley, sports at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardrail Network, and Willie Mays turned 90 today. You know, played for the Birmingham Black Barons in the Negro Leagues. Played some time in the outfield with his dad. His nickname was Buck. And one of the flattering things that Reggie Jackson talked about was after meeting Mr. Mays and teammates finding out that was Willie's nickname, he was flattered and honored that that was the nickname they gave him, Buck, after Willie Mays. Willie Mays also used to use in the great center fielder from the Philadelphia Phillies. You know, he came up in the giant long the other day, and, I'm talking about distance, I'm sorry. And, you know, Buck was the nickname that Willie Mays had, and it was given to Reggie Jackson, his teammate, and he was flattered that he had the nickname that was given to Willie Mays. Dr. Stanley Sports, the Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Guardrail Network, we are talking about the Candyman, baseball, who turned 90 today. Great, legendary Willie Mays. He was a stat to wow, 260 home runs. Willie Mays, I told you, first man, over 500 home runs, 500 doubles, 3,000 base hits. Only home run king lead the league in stolen bases 4 years in a row. First black player to hit 4 home runs in a game. First black player to do 30-30. And they talked a little bit about that. You heard Reggie about him going beyond 30-30. And I remember Rooney talked about that, too, when Koseko did it, becoming the first player to do 40-40. And he talked about the fact that Willie said, you know, it was a news such a big deal. He had done it. But, you know, Willie Mays also talked the fact about winning. You know, I mean, there were times that Willie Mays could have went to second base on a wild pitch and stole, but McCovey was at the plate. You know, he did the things that so cerebral and ingenious that were advantageous in his team winning. And he said that, you know, it wasn't about records. It was about winning. You know, Mays is the only man to win the MVP once and then 11 years later. I thought he should have won it in 62. I thought that, it was conceivable that Willie Mays could win MVP every year. But at one time in his career, he led the league in home runs. Another time in his career, he led the league in RBIs. And let's go a good piece written by ESPN senior writer, but more importantly, some of the comments that came with it, you know, and some of the people and players. That I remember Carver said he knew he had arrived in the big leagues. He said when Willie Mays came to play, he had manicured nails. You know, he said he knew he was in the big leagues. Let's talk about some excerpts here. The bat, the glove, the arm, the legs, the say hey kid. Mays hit 660 home runs, now sixth most of all time. He had 3,283 hits, 11 most ever. He won 2 MVP awards 11 years apart. He had a 302 batting average, on-base percentage of 900 for 13 straight years. OPS over 1,000 in 5 seasons. He won a National League batting title, 4 home run titles. He played 14 years in Candlestick Park. So now, I've said this now. Willie Mays had to hit 10 balls a year. That's being conservative, okay? Willie Mays had 10 balls a year that went out any other ballpark, okay? So we do 10 times 14, that's 140 more home runs. Okay, 660? Okay, 660, 100, that's 800 home runs on those. Okay? Now, he played in Candlestick Park, a ballpark with swirling winds. In another home run park, he may have had hit 700 home runs if he hadn't missed nearly two prime seasons in the military. He may have hit closer to 800. His swing was short and compact. He often stepped in the bucket but could still cover outside part of the plate. Former manager, Bobby Valentine. It was a different kind of his bat. One day I got up to the ballpark very early just to check out his bats. I went to the other dugout to see if they were different. They were heavy. They weren't different. He was different. Pete Rose. I felt sorry for Willie in a way, having to play at that shithole Candlestick. That was the worst place in the world to play baseball. It was always windy and cold. The sun was always in your eyes. There were 10,000, 12,000 people every game. If he had played in the band boxes in Cincinnati and Philadelphia and some other places, he'd hit 70 home runs a year. He wasn't just a power hitter. He was a good hitter. He loved to talk hitting. If he had hit behind me and Joe Morgan, he'd have driven in 500, 600 more runs. Former manager and catcher Joe Torre. Willie was a left-center, right-center hitter. The ballparks he played in didn't aid him. He had 6 and 6 home runs, but he had to earn every one of them at home. The polo grounds were short down the lines, but in the gap. See, a lot of people always talked about, you know, well, if he's in the polo grounds, and Joe Torre can tell you, and Torre, you know, sort of was a Giant fan like my dad. My dad and Joe Torre were the rare. They were Giant fans living in Brooklyn, you know. Were short down, but in the gap, they were very deep, and he played in Candlestick Park. Afternoon, the ball would fly to right, but you could shoot a bazooka off in left field some of those nights, and the ball wouldn't go anywhere. One night in Milwaukee in 1961, Mays hit 4 home runs. Simmons, the wind knocked another one down. Otherwise, he would have hit 5. And he talked about a great catch that Hank Aaron made, who happened to be playing center field that day. Willie didn't like to wait in the box. He wants you to throw the ball right now. There were times where I'd put a sign down, but I wouldn't put anything down, and Willie would talk to you. He'd say, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. It was impossible not to love him, even though he scared you to death because he was so good. One time I tried to distract him by talking to him. I asked him a question at the plate. I don't remember what it was about, maybe about a restaurant, and while answering the question, he hit the ball out of the park. Then he sort of made a half turn to me as he started the first base and told me, I'll finish this story later. Johnny Bench. Willie would come to the plate, and he was swinging his bat back and forth as only Willie could. Every time he swung it this way, he'd go back to this way toward the catcher. He'd be looking for the sign. There was no sign doing the drums or banging trash back in those days. But Peanut Lowry, the Giants' first base coach, was telling him what pitch was coming. So I'd squat down, and Willie steps out of the box. He looks at me and says, are you going to call a signal or what? And I said, as soon as you stop looking back here. And he laughed and said, oh, okay, you got me. You got me. Jesse Baker, most of that power came from Mays' legendary strong hands. I once went up to him behind the batting cage as a rookie. I asked him, why do you play me right behind second base? I'll hit the ball over your head. Willie said, boy, because you took up on the bat. You ain't strong enough to hit that ball over my head. That's why I play you right behind second base. Then he showed me his hands. The muscle between the thumb and his forefinger looked like a golf ball. And then he said, boy, let me see your hands. I had nothing, he said. That's why I play you behind second base. So immediately I went to squeezing hand grips to get my muscle in. Bobby Valentine again. When you shook hands with Willie Mays, you were shaking a hand, a man's hand. It's him, Rico Carty, and Hank Aaron. Willie's hand would engulf your hand. It gulped it. Dwayne Kipper, former major leaguer and Giants sportscaster. The truth is that those guys who played in the 60s all had huge, strong hands. Mays, Aaron McCovey, Frank Robinson, Cepeda, they were all like dairy farmers who milked cows by hand. With those guys, you had to get your hand in there first or they'd crush it. My dad always told me you have to win your handshakes, but Willie, you couldn't. Bench. Willie's hands were so thick. When we played golf, we both had the oversized grips. He'd come over, grab my club, and say, these feel good. Pete Rose again. Willie also had giant forearms. Look, I'm as big as Willie Mays, both around 5'10", 5'11", and he hit 6 or 8 home runs. I hit 160. The gloves. Mays won 12 gold gloves. Consider this. They didn't begin being awarded in 1957. He could have won 16. He had tremendous speed. incredible range, and got as good as a jump on the ball as anyone. Former Giant pitcher Steve Thome. He was the best center fielder in the game when he was 39 years old. It's truly amazing how long he was able to maintain his skills. Mays' signature was a famous basket catch. Instead of catching the ball in front of his face as he did and every other outfielder, Mays would often nonchalantly catch it in his hip bench, and he never missed one. He was so effortless back then. You wanted to put muscle on him, but that was just his natural ability, the grace he had in performing. Almost every game, it seems like he made an amazing catch. You could have two outfielders, but the other in the infield because Willie covered it. Tim McCarver, Cardinals teammate of Curt Flood. Curt Flood was the best I've ever seen against the wall. He was better than Willie against the wall, but Curt played deep. Willie didn't play deep. He played shallow. Willie never went to the wall. Willie was the wall. Felipe Alou, teammate, played with Willie for 6 years. I found myself at times watching the game like a fan would watch a game. The ball would be hit, and I would say, like a fan or a broadcaster, is he really going to catch this one? He had an amazing first step. He was covering half of the infield and the outfield by himself. Fletcher Baker again, whose team won today 7-4. First man ever to win manager year, his first year at the helm. Dusty Baker, and he was the last guy and the fourth guy on the Dodger team that had the only team that had four guys that hit 30 or more home runs. Chris Spira, who was a rookie with the Giants in 1971, told me stories that Willie was calling pitches from center field for the pitcher to throw to a certain hitter. He and Hank Aaron in those days, they didn't have scouting reports. They could tell where a guy was going to hit the ball by his hand position. If his hands were outside the zone, he was going to pull the ball. If his hands were in tight, he was going to try to inside the ball to the opposite field. Those guys studied all the hitters back then. They didn't need a scout. Hall of Famer, Tony Perez. The best play I ever saw him make was the ball that Vader Pinson hit to right center field at Candlestick Park. Willie ran the ball down, collided with the right fielder, Bobby Bonds, and caught the ball. I don't know how Willie caught it. I think Mays said that was the best catch earlier today on 10-10 wins. He knocked himself out. Willie Mays, Leon Wagner could hit, but he never knew where he might catch the ball. So one day there's a high fly ball. I go after it. I think Leon is going to catch it, but he's just standing there, there like his hands at his side. So I jump. I put my foot right in his belt buckle. I caught the ball, came down on him, and I thought, oh, I cut him. I went to him and said, Leon, pull up your shirt. Let me see where I cut you. There was no marks. I don't know how. I hit him with my spikes in his belt buckle. No one is going to believe that catch. Made perhaps the greatest defensive play and the most famous in the World Series in 1964 when he robbed Vitz of a home run. Hall of Famer Bob Feller. Feller, incidentally, too, was three things about Feller. The only guy at the opening day, no hitter. He didn't think it was the right time for Jackie Robinson to cover up 1947. I meant to ask Mr. Feller about that, too. And I got to meet him on quite a few occasions, you know. Bob Feller didn't have to go to the military either. He volunteered to do 4 years in the military. He didn't have to go. He was exempt. But he did 4 years in the military and still missed 4 years and won 266 games. And he talks about Willie Mays catching the 1954 World Series. That really wasn't that great of a catch. As soon as it was hit, everyone on our bench knew that he was going to catch it because he's Willie Mays. Second, Reggie Jackson talked about, I have the last glove that Willie Mays wore. It says 1954 champions on it. I brought it. For how much? Let's just say if I sold it, it would take between $200,000 and $250,000. I brought it because no one used a glove better than Willie Mays. Willie Mays was big in the McGregor gloves. I'm trying to think of the center fielder's name who said that Willie trained all the kids then who came through the system to use the McGregor glove. Now I just found out today, listen, Mary Day, that McGregor gloves are no longer used, and the reason why, because they were kangaroo gloves. Willie Mays talked about, you know, the kangaroo skin gloves as opposed to the rolling gloves. I'm sorry that I can't think of his name right now. He was one of the top center fielders in baseball, too, at the time. And the arm. Mays had a tremendous strong and accurate arm, which is critical for a center fielder. A throw into the plate has to have enough to carry it over the mound. Bench, you already knew there were guys that you never, ever ran on. You had to respect those guys. Willie charged the ball as well as anyone who ever played baseball. He was able to judge the speed of the ball so well that he could scoop and throw. Tim McCarver, Johnny King, the Cardinal manager from 61 to 64, told us in meetings, don't run on Willie. He will throw you out. He's baiting you. He wants you to think he can't, and then he does. Willie figured it out. Willie always figured everything out. Mays, the people in baseball told me you can't do round robin. That's throwing out a runner at first base, second base, third base, and home in the same game. I said, I can do that. What are you talking about? So we're at Dodger Stadium. Dryon Drysdale hits the ball over the middle for a base hit. I watch him. He puts his head down and started walking at first. I thought I got him, so I threw him out at first. He cussed me something fierce. The next inning, Murray Wills went to third. He tried to score on a fly ball, and I threw Murray out of home. The next inning, Willie Davis tried to go from first to third. I threw him out at third. Jim LaFever hits a ball in the gap. I have him out by 5 feet at second base. Giant second baseman Tito Fuentes had him, but he didn't squeeze the ball. Tito was crying at second base. He knew what I was trying to do. So I had to call time. I go in and told him, Tito, don't worry. It's not the end of the world, he said. Yes, it is. I knew round robin was right there in my grasp, he told me. Don't worry, I'll get it next time. But I never came close, but I would have had it that day. Wow. Hall of Famer, my former Mays teammate, Orlando Cepeda. Ave Maria. I never saw anyone go from first to third on Willie's arm. Felipe Lou was a great right fielder, but Willie once told Felipe on a fly ball hit by Willie Kirkland to right center, let me take it, let me take it. So Willie caught the ball at the 390-foot sign in right center field, and he threw a low on the line in the air all the way to third base. Willie had the greatest arm I've ever seen. You ready for this, ladies and gentlemen? Even better than Roberto Clemente. Ike Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. We are here, and we're saying happy birthday to Willie Mays. And, wow. And I think there's another song that kind of... Well, Johnson talked about how all the America.
Now the man at my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile, when he says to me, how's my child? I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Then I'm gonna color him father. I think I'll color the man love. Yes, I will.
Color him love.
He says education
was a father to a lot of the players, a lot of youth in our country. I remember Willie Mays had signed his contract. My dad told the story, and Mays was the first player to get a 2-year contract, if I'm correct. He's the first black player to get $100,000. And Hank Aaron signed a contract that was a little more than Willie's. And as the story goes, Horace Stoneham called in Willie Mays and said, Willie, Hank Aaron just signed a contract for a little more than what you get. And I don't think anybody should make more money than Willie Mays, so let's redo your contract. The class, the character, the dignity. Willie was, don't worry about it, Mr. Stoneham. Don't worry about it. Man, you can't say enough about Willie Mays, man. It just, you know, what he was as a person, as a human being. I mean, imagine how great Willie Mays was as Willie Mays the person. Wow. That's what Larry Brown said about Dr. J. Marischal, Juan Marischal, before every game that me or Gaylord Perry pitched, we'd have a meeting about how we were going to pitch the other team that night. It was always a 3-man meeting, me, the catcher, and Willie Mays. He used to help us out on how to pitch to all the hitters on the other team. Willie knew exactly what to do with each hitter, the legs. It wasn't just stolen bases that separated Mays from other players, especially other power hitters. I told you, he led the league in stolen bases four straight years in a row. And the first player to do 30-30, a black player. It was his innate feeling for base running, going first to third, scoring from second on a single, laying out one of the 140 triples he hit, doing a league best 20 in 1957, his last year in New York City as he went out to Candlestick Park. He was one of the greatest. He would go from first to third on a ball to right center. He didn't even have to look at the third base coach. He was his own coach, Tony Perez. Tim McCarver, he was a terror on the bases. Felipe Alou one time. I was always told that Jackie Robinson was the only base runner better than Willie. But I used to wonder, how can you be a better runner than Willie Mays? I saw him score standing up at least 10 times on a wild pitch, and that wasn't even 10 feet from the plate. Willie McCovey, the late, great Willie McCovey, who hid behind Willie. Willie would start to run to second on a wild pitch or a pass ball, then go back to first because he knew that it walked me with first base open. Oh, Willie saw it all. Pete Rose, Willie had great instincts on the bases. He was always aggressive. I was an aggressive base runner also. I developed my base running skills watching Willie Mays. Willie was hitting 50 homers, so you can't afford to have him running and getting hurt all the time. You can say 29th all-time steals is when he retired, but he could have easily moved into the top 10. And on a single, he would have been strange if he didn't go to first to third. He had one of the best turns, rounding second or third, you could possibly have. With his agility, he made the most perfect turns. Reggie Jackson, after I retired, I took Willie to the eye doctor several times. He had early glaucoma. One day, we're driving, and I asked him about Jose Canseco going 40-40. And I said to Willie, what do you think of those guys going 40-40? You did 30-30 a couple of times. Willie said, oh, hell, 40-40, that's nothing. I could have done 50-50. I wanted to steal my bases when it mattered for the team. Cha-cha, Orlando Cepeda comes in. The greatest base runner I've ever seen. He made triples look easy. He used to hit behind. I used to hit behind Willie in order. When he was on base, I would watch him run. I tried to mimic him to do what he did on the bases, but I couldn't. No one could. Dusty Baker, once again, whose team won today 7-4 against the Yankees. Okay, I got L.A.W. on the line. Lou from across the water to second. Baker, I thought I had a pretty good arm. I thought I was going to throw Willie out at third base one day. I had him out. He ran right in the way of the ball. It hit him in the shoulder. I got an error, and he scored. I swear to God, he looked back, saw where the throw was. He just ran right into the path of the ball. I told the umpire, he can't do that. The Say Hey Kid, nickname that Willie got. I think I got, is this you, L.A.W.?
Yes, sir. Yes, Doc.
Yeah, how you doing, Lou? We're doing my Willie Mays piece today.
A rare Thursday appearance.
Yeah, well, it's his birthday, so Marion Brooklyn sent me a good piece this morning that they did on ESPN about him. In fact, I'm reading some of the stories. Willie Mays is a character. He is supremely confident, even arrogant at times, but also self-depreciating and playful, always up for a laugh, and his laugh, that wonderful laugh, that high-pitched voice that didn't fit his physique or mystique. He was so revered by teammates, but also by opponents. So much so that Dodgers manager Walter Alston more than once, while managing the National League All-Star, had Mays make out the starting lineup. Wow. Wow, Mays.
Wow.
Walter told me, Willie, you know these guys better than I do. You make the batting order. So I hit myself lead off. Clemente, Roberto hit second, and Hank third. I figured I'd get on, Roberto could get me over, and Hank would get me in. That is quite of a tribute. Clint Griffey Jr. talks about, the first time I met him, I was 17 playing in the Structural League. I didn't believe it was happening. I was told, Willie Mays wants to meet you. I was like, oh, shit. So I started talking to him. I missed the first two innings of the Structural League game because I was talking to Willie Mays. But my manager didn't care. He said he's going to learn more talking to Willie Mays than he's going to learn playing in this damn game today. Let him talk as long as he likes. And what did Mays tell Griffey that day that Griffey would never forget? He said, you're going to be good. You're going to be real good. He is such a caring person. He told me at 17 to call him if I needed anything. He didn't have to do that. But I would have my dad call him first. I couldn't just call Willie Mays. Lou, talk to you a minute, baby, as we're reading some of these things about Willie Mays. Going to send this out to my son. Go ahead, Lou.
Well, I mean, I didn't get a chance to really see him play because he played from like the 50s to the early 70s, and I didn't get a chance to see him play live. I heard some wonderful stories about him. And, you know, his legacy, of course, you know, still lives on. And, you know, I've heard stories about him throughout the years and whatnot. You know, just an all-around great player. And,
yeah,
you know,
I remember, I think I talked about it yesterday. Doc Sandy's supposed to be up, I took me on a trusting over network. We could close up soon, but we're saying happy birthdays. God bless you.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Mr. Willie Mays. To say hey, kid. Sparky Anderson talked about when they put the Dream Team together, and Mays was in center field. Willie Stargell was in left field, though. Hank Aaron in right field. I wondered about, you know what I'm wondering? That was, why would Clemente not have been in right field? And Hank Aaron in left field. But anyhow, I got to see when that was done. Maybe after Roberto passed. It might have been. And Sparky said, you know, I didn't see Willie play. But all the people I respect said he was the best. Let me do Joe Torre real quick. First baseman, Bill Wright was playing for the Cardinals. He and Gibby, Hall of Fame, Bob Gibson went to San Francisco in the offseason. Bill was invited to Willie's house for dinner. Bill Wright was also the first black National League president, highest position ever held by a black in Major League Baseball. And he asked Gibby to go if he wanted to go for dinner. And Bob said, I'd love to go. I've never met Willie Mays. They ring the doorbell. Willie comes to the door in the offseason. Gibby always wore glasses, but he didn't wear them when he pitched. So Willie opens the door. He says, hello to Bill. And he says, who's this? Bill said, Willie, this is Bob Gibson. Willie didn't say hello to him. All he said was, you wear glasses? He said, and you don't wear them when you pitch? Are you crazy? You're going to hurt somebody.
Maybe he thought
my
you
goodness,
were
Marichal. Mays wasn't good to only the stars. The first time I met Willie was the day I was called up to the big leagues for the first time in July 10th, 1960. Willie was so good to me, but he was so good to everyone. I told you that. He's a father. He took me out to dinner, but he took everyone out to dinner. He used to take teammates to a clothing store, and we'd all come home with a suit, shirts, a coat, slacks, shoes. Willie was a great teammate. Like I said, Willie was a great father. Willie, Dusty Baker, he was great to all of us young guys, guys of all colors. Willie gave me my first McGregor glove. Back then, gloves were made out of kangaroos. That's our Lord now. Yep, McGregor. Willie Mays was big on the McGregor gloves, and Maddox. That's the name. Maddox was the center fielder for center fielder.
Yes.
I can't think of his first name now. It wasn't Greg Maddox, but came up as a center fielder in the Giant outfield in the Giant organization. He became one of the elite center fielders with the Philadelphia Phillies, and he talked about Willie bred the guys on the McGregor gloves. He kept winning the Rawlings glove every year, but he bred the guys on the Rawlings gloves. Johnny Bench, the most special moment for me was the 1968 All-Star game in Astrodome. Willie Mays won MVP that All-Star game, too. Willie Mays got on first base, stole second, got to third base, and on third base with nobody out, I think it was Willie McCovey. Willie McCovey hit into a double play. Willie Mays scored, and the game was on 1-0, and Willie Mays was MVP. I found it ludicrous that a guy doesn't get the RBI because he hit into a double play. I don't understand how these guys come up with these rules. I mean, why hit into a double play? I mean, the guy's made two outs. I mean, he's not trying to make two outs. But I just never understood that. And Johnny Bench, that's Fendi Benny. The most special moment of all for me was the 1960 All-Star game at the Astrodome. I'm sitting in my locker straight across from Willie, and I'm not moving. I'm 20 years old. I don't want to accidentally spike anyone. I don't want to act like I belonged here. Willie walked across from his locker to mine and says, you should have been the starting catcher. That was it. That was all I needed. The validation I got from Willie. It was an honor to be around him. The joy he brought. He was the guy you emulated in every way. He was everything that baseball should be. The say hey kid. Tom Seaver, his heroes, Willie Mays, Koufax, and he said, upon his first meeting with Willie Mays, he noticed that Mr. Mays had the top button on his uniform unbuttoned. That's the way Tom Seaver wore his from then on. after the great Willie Mays. Griffey Jr., I once went past the visiting clubhouse manager's office at AT&T Park, and Willie was in there with Willie McCovey. So I just tried to slide by, and Willie came out and said, "Hey, hold up. Come in here. You got enough home runs to be in this room." That made me feel important, says Griffey. You know, they just keep going on with these, Pete Rose. My first All-Star game was in 1965, and my locker was in between Willie Mays and Hank Aaron. And I thought, what the hell am I doing here sitting between these guys? Willie went out of his way to make me feel part of the team. I never forgot that. That's a great line. So I think my other said, you know, people may forget what you say, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. Mays, on facing Satchel Paige for the first time in 1949. I remember me and Michael talked about that when they had Willie Mays, when they made Willie Mays drive, when they had the ceremonies there. And he said, Satch would pitch to anyone that would pay him. I hit a double off the wall against him. That's his first time against Satchel Paige, too. The guy behind me, Johnny Zapp, hit a home run. So late in the game, Satch told his third baseman, "Let me know when that little boy come back up." I thought he was talking about somebody else. So in the third, I heard the baseman say, "There he is." I didn't know who they were talking about. The catcher said, "They're talking about you." I said, "No way." So Satch walked halfway to home plate and said, "Little boy?" I said, "Yes, sir." Satch is much older than I was. Satch said, "Little boy, I'm not going to trick you. I'm going to throw three fastballs, and then you're going to go sit down." I said, "No way." He could throw the same pitch three times, and I don't hit it. He threw me three of the damnest fastballs. I didn't come close to hitting it. He said, "Little boy, now you can go sit down."
Yeah.
Willie Mays. Willie Howard Mays. Wow. Tim McCarver. I wrote in my book that Willie had the thickest fingers I've ever seen and that he buffed his fingernails every day. And every day he came up to me and said in that high-pitched voice, "I heard that you said that I buff my nails every day. You're right." I remember Carver said, he said he knew he made the major leagues when Willie Mays came to the plate. And he had manicured nails. He said, "I know they made the big leagues." Christopher Jr., I think he was doing spring training with the Reds. I was invited to dinner at the governor's house in Florida. Jeb Bush was the governor. I was going to fly down there, but my manager, Bob Boone, told me, "I don't think I can let you go." I told him, "But Willie Mays invited me." Boone immediately said, "Oh, okay, go ahead." That's how important Willie Mays is. Reggie Jackson again. The first time I heard of Willie Mays was the Vic Wirtz catch, 1954. I was 8. We had a black and white TV. Now, this was interesting. You learn something every day. We had a black and white TV. You had to put a quarter in the TV to watch it for an hour. That's how you paid for it. As I grew up, I was a Willie Mays fan. But you had to be a Dodger fan if you were black because of Jackie Robinson and Roy Campanella. And Nuke, Don Newcomb. Robinson, first black player to win the MVP award, first black player to win a batting championship, the first player, period, to win the Rookie of the Year. 1947, they implemented the Rookie of the Year award, and they only gave one for both leagues. Jackie Robinson was the first black player in baseball and the first player, black, green, or yellow, to win a Rookie of the Year award. And Roy Campanella was the first black player to win three MVP awards. And Don Newcomb was the first pitcher to ever win the Cy Young Award as they implemented that in 1956. And Newcomb also became the first pitcher to win the Cy Young Award and the MVP in the same league. Okay? But when Willie came to town, I begged my dad to take me to the game. After the game, my dad took me down to where the players' bus was. I crawled on the ground. I crawled through people's legs, and I watched Willie get on the bus. That was such a wonderful experience for me. My goodness. We're talking about Willie Mays, 90 years old today, May 6th, born 1931, May 6th. Jim Palmer, the first time I ever met him was in January 1965 at a golf event. His partner in the tournament was Joe Namath, who slept in on the day of the tournament and didn't show up on the first tee. So Willie didn't play. Willie and I were in the long drive contest together. Here I am, the skinny pitcher, and here's Willie Mays, so strong. So I won the long drive contest. Willie, in a high-pitched voice, told me, "There's no way you can outdrive me." "Your ball hit the sprinkler," I said. "Well, all I know is that my drive went 310 feet and yours went only 290. Willie just laughed. Tony Perez again. One day at Cal State Park, Jim Maloney was pitching for us. And he threw really hard, really hard. He also liked to mess around, to have fun. with players on the mound and on the field. So Willie got in the box, and Maloney went to the mound like he was going to throw a spitball. Instead, he threw a fastball right down the middle. Willie took it. He ended up walking. When he got to first base, I told him, you know Maloney, he's crazy. Willie laughed and said, I know he's crazy. He's pretending to throw a spitball. He doesn't need it. He's going to kill someone with that. But it's not going to be me because I won't be there. Willie Mays, 90 years old today. Interjection here, Law, the man across the river. Joe Torre, one more. A friend of mine, Dave, lives in Hawaii. He's from the Bay Area. He's a big Giants fan, a big Willie fan. His birthday is the same day as Willie. I got to say, too, I'm glad I thought about my man Mitch in Fortaleza. I tried to call him today. His day is Willie. I call him Mitch Mays. His birthday is today, and a young lady up in Caxias, Cayana. Her birthday's today. The reason why I remember that birthday because the birthday is the same as Willie Mays. A friend of mine named Dave lives in Hawaii. Happy birthday, Mitch. Happy birthday, Kiwana. He's from the Bay Area. He's a big Giants fan, a big Willie fan, and his birthday is the same day as Willie, May 6th. So 2 or 3 years ago, I said, I'll let you know when I'll be in San Francisco, and we'll watch a game together. Unbeknownst to Dave, I arranged for Willie to be at the ballpark. I pulled Willie out of the stands. He talked to Dave for an hour. Willie couldn't do enough for him. He signed anything. He took pictures with him. The capital was, for me, was Willie says, what else do you need? So Willie called Mike Murphy, the clubhouse guy. I know Murph, too. Gave me a Giant uniform for the Giants. And May said, Murph, get me a shirt. Willie took the shirt off his back, signed it, and gave it to Dave. He literally gave him the shirt off his back. Dave has never stopped thanking me. And obviously he tries to buy me breakfast, lunch, and dinner every time I see him. Jim Palmer, the first batter I faced in my All-Star game, 1970, Willie Mays, the guy I watched growing up in New York and California. I mean, I really, Willie Mays. And, you know, I struck him out on 3 high fastballs. I saw him at the Hall of Fame years later and told him, I was told you were wild. I was told you were kind of a headhunter. Palmer said, I wasn't a headhunter, but the first time I faced Willie was such a thrill. Jim Palmer was adopted, and his first game in the major leagues, he came in relief against the Yankees, the team he wanted to pitch for. And I'm correct, I believe he struck out Elston Howard. Felipe Lou. That was the thing about Willie. No matter where he was playing, he always played with passion, whether he was for the Giants or barnstorming game or spring training or playing stickball in the streets of New York. His concentration was like no one I had ever seen, and he loved me for some reason. He called me Chico because it was hard for him to say Felipe. Sometimes he'd call me Philip. Right. But even today, if we're near each other, he hears my voice from another room. He'll recognize me and say, hey, it's Chico. Willie Mays in Madison Street. They're the best stickball players ever. And Lynn Bartlett and Jimmy Seeley knew I was a Willie Mays fan, so they called me Melly Mays. And they were the greatest stickball bunch of guys ever. I got to check the Stickball Hall of Fame. But got the nickname Melly Mays because I was a Willie Mays man. I got a ball here, too. That he autographed me to Melly. Kemper did the color commentary a few times many years ago before Mike, his current broadcaster partner, Giants games, started out doing the game. So I'm the play-by-play guy. It's Easter Sunday. Robbie Thompson strikes out on a check swing with the time running third base to end the game. So on Easter Sunday, Willie says on the air, Jesus Christ. I looked at him. I have to talk because I'm the play-by-play guy, and all I could say was, well, we'll be right back with Reverend Willie Mays right after this. Great commentaries here. Go ahead, Luke.
You said Bobby Thompson, right?
No, this was Robbie Thompson. Robbie Thompson. The second baseman for the Giants at the time. Yeah, Bobby Thompson was the third baseman and hit the home run in the 51 playoffs.
Yes.
And what had happened?
They're not related, right? Are they related?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Okay. I'll find out. I got to ask Dusty Baker. Dusty, let me know. But you know, the thing with that, the switch of Monty Irvin going from third base to left field led to Monty Irvin being the first black player to lead the National League in RBIs. And it was Willie Mays who was on deck when Bobby Thompson was at the plate. That's another one of those historical questions, a trivia question. But historically, you know, Monty Irvin hit better when he went back to left field, and Bobby Thompson came in at third field. Now, Bobby Thompson was also instrumental in the career of Hank Aaron, because when Bobby Thompson got hurt, the second baseman for the Braves went to left field. The second baseman for the Braves at that time was Hank Aaron. And the rest, they say, is Reggie Jackson. The first time I met Willie Mays was my rookie year in spring training for the A's in 1969. Willie came over to the A's bench and said, "Where's Reggie Jackson? Who's this kid, Reggie Jackson? I want to see Reggie Jackson." I met him. That was a huge, huge deal for me, for him to come over to our dugout and ask for me. I got to shake his hand. So Catfish and Sal Bando told me, "Reggie, do your Willie. I could run like him. I could do that pigeon-toe walk that he had." He cracked up laughing. Willie had his glove tucked on his arm. I said, what's this thing on your glove? "Buck?" He said, "Yeah, that's my nickname." I said, "That's a really cool." After that, Catfish Hunter and Bando and Raleigh Fingers and Joe Rudy always called me Buck, which he's very proud of. Valentine, Bobby Valentine, as the manager of the Rangers, I had to go to tell Willie, the old-timers game, that Joe DiMaggio would not come on the field unless he came out last and was introduced as the greatest living player. So Bobby Bregan made me tell Willie, Mickey Mantle, and Duke Snyder, one by one, that Joe would have to come out last. Willie, with a high-pitched voice, said, "Well, Joe actually thinks he's the greatest living player, so maybe we should let him." I told Willie, "I am so happy that you said." No, we talked about this, you know, the class of Willie Mays. Joe DiMaggio was Mays out. We talked about how he helped out other players, you know, judging people by the content. And I think Willie Mays might have been one of the few players that white America judged by the content of his character and not by the color of his skin. If not in totality. Well, not in totality, I'm thinking, because he couldn't get a house in Frisco when he first moved out there. But as I said earlier, he was the Peter Pan like Michael Jackson was. The kids and adults loved Willie Mays.
Right.
Everybody loved Willie Mays. Jim Palmer, again, one time at the Hall of Fame after the introduction ceremony, we all went back to the hotel for hors d'oeuvres. At the table was Yogi Berra, Whitey Ford, Duke Snyder, Tommy Lasorda, Willie Mays, and me. Man, you look at that. All those guys have passed on. Now that's the table. So Lasorda asked Yogi what he wants to put on his tombstone. Yogi said, "That's easy. It's over. You know, it's never over till it's over." Willie cracked up, you know. Willie has a great laugh. Bobby Valentine again. In 2000, during the playoffs, Willie was holding court in the Giants clubhouse. I asked Murph. Murph's good people, too. Murph is always nice to me, the clubhouse guy, if I could bring Willie over to talk to my guys. So Willie comes over, talks to my players. And, you know, a lot of them guys kind of really hadn't been introduced to Willie Mays before. He said some of them didn't know who he was. This was 2000. That was worse than disgraceful. Pete Rose said they didn't know who Willie Mays is. He said, "Do they know who God is?" You know, Ken Griffey Jr., I have a jersey signed by Willie. It says, "From one kid to another, the Say Hey Kid," that is prominently and permanently displayed in my man cave at home. People come and look at it and say, "Is that him?" And I say, "Yes, that's Willie Mays."
Him.
Yeah. You know, say happy birthday, Mr. Mays.
Lou, you can't do that.
What was that, Lou?
You can't mistake Willie.
Yeah. I mean, I know, and talking about that, they tell the story of a black tie dinner affair, and a female sportscaster turned to a colleague and said, who's that white-haired guy across the room?" He looks at her and says, "That's Joe DiMaggio." In the words of Harold Weston, sad and touching. She didn't know who Joe DiMaggio was. You know, and these guys, you got to figure what planet are they from that they don't know who Willie Mays is. I mean, I remember one of the first things Obama did was have Willie Mays fly. Well, Obama said, you know, when he had Willie Mays of Air Force One, he says, usually I'm the star. He says, well, nobody's talking to me. Everybody's talking to Willie Mays. Everybody's talking to Willie Mays. And let's say it's history. We say happy birthday to Willie Mays. I play some things and do some things. I got Luke Court. Let me do a real quick hit here, and we'll come back. Me and Larry Hardy should talk a little bit.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the store that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Let me see if I can get a little bit of this here of a question session
yeah.
I had earlier.
That at Dodger Stadium, because the guy said they were used to miracle every day for Willie, so Willie gave him one every other day. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got to go. Okay. Well, you know, what was crazy to me, too, man, was he won 12 straight Gold Gloves. In the year that he didn't win the Gold Gloves, Pete Rose won the Gold Glove. I said, Willie Mays in a wheelchair is better than Pete Rose. You know, man, I mean, you look at me. How did Pete Rose beat out Willie Mays for a Gold Glove?
He asked me a question, too, and I can see if I get it. He talked about the catch, and he said, yo, was Mays' catch, it's no question the greatest catch in World Series history, but he said, was A.G.'s catch the second best? Was the one by Sabota the second best World Series catch? And I said, the thing that was advantageous for all the catches that they were, besides being in the World Series,
I ain't driving the plane.
They were done in New York and done by a New York player. But something came up that I had never really thought about, you know, because everybody talked about the thing about the catch was also the throw. And as we heard Bob Feller say, you know, it wasn't a big thing, you know, him catching the ball. I'm trying to think of Monty Irvin talked about, nice catch, Rumi. He said, yeah, I had it all the way. And it was Bill Rigney, he said, well, we knew Willie had it because he tapped his glove. And any time he tapped his glove, that meant he automatically had the ball. And the thing that we talked about, let me see if I had that question here. Yes. Hold on. Okay, no, that was something else. Let me see if I can get that question. But he said, well, I said, you know, Mays' catch is the greatest catch because, first of all, Lou, it was impossible. No way in the world he's going to catch the ball. No way in the world he's going to catch the ball. Now, part two to the impossibility, after he catches the ball, is he going to throw the ball? How's he going to throw the ball? He throws the ball. That's part two. Part three, how far he threw the ball back into the infield. He threw the ball back into the infield. And you kind of, it wasn't until today, Lou, that it hit me. I said, wait a minute. The catch, the throw, and the plot to the throw. He catches the ball and now has the, it reminded me, I said, of Roberto Duran fought Iron Barkley. He dropped Roberto Duran in that fight. And in the process, when Barkley hit Duran later on, he spun Duran around, and Duran stopped and put his right foot out and stopped himself from hitting the canvas. And Mays did this. He stopped, boom, right, throws that, the catch, the throw, and the length of the throw. He threw the ball back into the infield. Because, you know, the infield, they just, you know, everybody's watching them. Great throw, great play, greatest player ever played the game. Lou, we're going to run some closing thoughts as we say happy birthday to the legendary, the one and only. As I said here, this show is dedicated to the legendary Mr. Willie Mays, the greatest baseball player that ever played or have played or will play in the game of baseball. We're all here at the Sports In-Depth Nation. Say God bless you. We thank God for you, and we love you dearly, Mr. Mays. And happy 90th birthday.
Thank you.
Closing thoughts. I mean, you know, I really appreciate that. Lou, now he's on at 5 o'clock on Saturday,
yes.
Enhanced Show. We
now,
gave him the number
now,
yesterday. Lou, I need you to send me
but,
that picture, too, so I can put you in the collage here. And your thoughts as we join me again. A pleasure to have you. As you say, too, say happy birthday to the great Willie Mays.
Happy birthday. Say hey, kid. I wish I could
have
seen
you. Know,
see
they got
you.
That nickname,
live,
too,
but,
because
you know.
They say he would forget names. So he would go, hey, say hey. And, you know, I remember people talked about, you know, I said, some things you got to realize. You know, Willie Mays, all his stats intact, without making any additions, you know, and playing in Candlestick Park. If you gave Joe DiMaggio 100 home runs for the 3 years he missed in the military, he'd only have one more home run than Willie Mays, 661.
Sure.
You know? He stole more bases in 1 year than Joe D. It's just any great player that you put up. I mean, Roberto Clemente said only Willie Mays could play in Candlestick Park. You know what I mean? And I remember 71, he said that Willie Mays comes along once in a million years. Okay, Lou, I know you got to go, but anytime you see us, please join us. Thanks for saying happy birthday to Willie Mays.
Well, I probably won't be working on Thursday nights, but Wednesdays I do because I'm involved in another show on Thursday nights at this time, but we have the night off. So I had some extra time. Now, if you do call my show on Saturday, do not look for on Blog Talk because I'm not associated with the Blog Talk Network for the show. I'm on Uber. But all you got to do is just call the number I gave you, and I'll get you in between 5 and 7. The number is 512-542.
Okay, listen.
Yeah.
Be a pleasure. Also, it's going to be Ladies' Night. As you know, Mother's Day is coming up. We'll be doing a show before then. In fact, that's what I should do a little bit. We're going to do that. Mother's Day. Okay, listen. Lou, thanks a lot for being with us, and thanks for joining us and saying happy birthday to the greatest of all time. Like Ali said, the greatest of all time, Willie Mays. Thanks a lot, Lou. L-A-W. Lou from across the water. He leaves us, and we're going to leave. We always did Marvin Gaye with Save Your Children. So we're going to close out now with Willie Mays. And I want to thank Michael for always getting his things that we tell him to so many shows. Let's close out now on Willie Mays. God bless you. Happy birthday, Mr. Willie Mays. The Say Hey Kid. Sports and Death with Dr. Emily Stanley Sr. and his sports posse on this in-depth and informed education historical look at the world of sports on this renowned and legendary award-winning radio show, Sports and Death. A version of both a daily historical perspective, but also both an in-depth look, but not only on the sports of our times, but two of the players and performers of the set events of now and yesteryear. This show is dedicated to the legendary Mr. Willie Mays, the greatest baseball player that ever played or have played or will play in the baseball. We're all here at the Sports and Depth Nation. Hey, God bless you. We thank God for you, and we love you dearly, Mr. Mays, and happy 90th birthday. Sports and Depth, a.k.a. SID, also brings you unique strategies of sports intellectual perspective. Not just athletics, because that it takes raw God-given talent, conditioning, and two takes of God's mind fueled with passion, determination, intellect, physical competing. With in-depth knowledge, which is like a iconic posse, Sports and Depth is true, the world in depth. Thank you, Jones. Once again, we'll always rip the rumors, look at issues, and bring it to you. Willie Mays close. Every time I look at my pocket, I see Jackie Robinson. I don't compare him, I just catch him. Defense, to me, is the key to playing baseball. It's not hard. When I'm not hitting, I don't hit anybody. But when I am hitting, I hit everybody. In 1950, when the Giants signed me, they gave me $15,000 for a 1950 Mercury. I couldn't drive it. I had it in the parking lot there. Everybody that could drive it could drive the car. It was like a community thing. That's it. It's Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, the Trusted Garden Network. Thank you, Lou. Ladies and gentlemen, in your prayers, and God for them. Happy birthday, Mr. Willie Mays. Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, the Trusted Garden Radio Network. Mr. Mays, Dr. Jason Wright, comes to sports figures, and I love nobody better than you. Ain't that love others less? I'll be the best. I'm Stanley, Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. Trust in God. One more time. Happy birthday, Mr. Mays.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
But by my heart, God bless you all, and trust in God. And end the show. Be Candyman, Charles Hard.
Bottles of every tear, understands every fear. So we must put our trust in God.
I was walking down the street in a little old country town. I saw a rusty penny half buried in the ground. As I reached down to pick it up, I saw beneath the rust these words just barely visible: in God we trust. I held it for a moment, then suddenly I knew what God, in all his wisdom, would have me say and do. He used this worthless penny to make me understand that life is not worth living without the Master's hand. Oh, in God we trust, in God we trust, we're lost just like this penny, unless in God we trust. And then I heard a still small voice within me whisper, very clear, "Be still and know that I am God, and I'm always near. When all your dreams come tumbling down around you in the dust, remember this lost penny and place in me your trust." Oh, in God we trust, in God we trust, we're lost just like this penny, unless in God we trust.
Played the game with Charles Hard and Love. Therefore, it's to all.
Oh, yeah. With a Charles Hard.
Charles Hard. And he was our, the greatest baseball ever. Our candy man. Accidentally, Sports In Depth, Blog Talk Radio. Trust in God Radio Network. Thanks a lot for being with us. And, hey, the Hardesty, one more time.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Hello? Hello? Hey, Blade, what's up, baby? Hey, I'm all right. I got to catch up with my sister. She came in today, but tomorrow, maybe we can get together. I may like you to meet her. I don't think you... I'm getting up early. Let me call you right back. I got on another line. I'll call you right back. On the bed? 10 o'clock. Oh, wow. You did? Oh, charges. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Blade. Love you, baby. Thanks, Blade. I got to get dressed like Blade do shit.